I've shared with you several times that I have a weekly fast I do for 24 hours, and a lot of people are starting the weekly fast. And I want to encourage you too. There are seven people at Enrich Church this month that are doing or have done a three-day fast. And that's pretty amazing, because we're trying to build a fasting culture at Enrich Church, to develop that fasting culture. And when we first started off, people were like, what's fasting? Like, do I want to do this? The Daniel fast, maybe. And then as we built the culture over, you know, the past 10 months, people are beginning to be prompted by the Spirit to start fasting, to seek Jesus more and more. And as people are doing this three-day fast, they're seeing tremendous breakthrough in their life. Jesus is showing up, bringing freedom and transformation. People are seeing people come to Christ through it. Like, there's a ton of cool things happening. So I just want to encourage you that a lot of people are beginning to develop this. And I share that because I have that weekly 24-hour fast I do. And then I do some extended fasts at different variables of times. But when I started this weekly fast, one of the things that I felt Jesus invited me to do, because I do it from Thursday night to Friday night, so like 5:30 to 5:30 p.m., was to take 2 hours on Thursday night just to worship Him. And at first I was like, man, that's a long time. And, you know, I kind of do some other things and like that, but I was like, if I'm going to dedicate this time to praying and fasting, like, I should just dedicate to go all in and seek Him. So, you know, it's after I get the kids in bed and all that's done and everything's kind of wrapped up for the night, I just throw some worship music on and I just worship the Lord for like an hour, hour and a half or so. But then by the time, like, I'm just so deep in worship, I just can't help but basically I fall on my face and just like be bowing down before Him for that half hour. When I go and do this, I have no agenda. I just go to be in His presence, just to be with Him. If He wants to speak to me, that's cool. Like, if He wants to speak, or if He just wants to hang out, or if He wants to convict me of my sin, which happens a lot, and I have to repent of my sin and confess this stuff and get out of my life and start changing my ways to get in line with His ways, that's part of my rhythm. So Jesus invited me basically deeper into His presence, deeper into a friendship with Him. And He said, hey, Jared, you're still on the outskirts, but I want you to come in and be part of the inner circle I'm inviting you to. And the way you get into Jesus' inner circle is by being in His presence and developing and cultivating that friendship with Him. And so we have 10 conditions at Enrich Church that I believe that Jesus wants to instill in us for us to become a multiplying church, a 30, 60, 100-fold church, which we see in Mark 4:20. So one of our conditions that we're going through, and next week will be our last 10 conditions, and I'll bring a printout so you can see all 10 conditions at once, what they look like if you're not familiar with them, is to pray for the right people. Is to pray for the right people. So Jesus wants us to pray for the right people to get plugged into and Enrich, because He has a specific culture that He's trying to cultivate for people to catch fire for Jesus, to love people who are in their life, to share Jesus with them and lead them in a relationship, and then to go out and start these Discovery Bible study groups and to be rooted in prayer and fasting and to do outreach. And it's a pretty unique culture, but it's super biblical when you read scripture. And so Jesus is looking for people to say, hey, come join what God is doing here at Enrich. I want to invite you to be part of the community. And not only that, but man, I think one of our greatest strengths, and I've said this a lot of times before, is people love to talk here. Like, it's all rooted in relationship and hanging out, and we like to do fun things together, right? So we do life together, and we're on mission for Jesus in His kingdom. So when we just did our Discovery Bible study of Mark 3:13 through 19, before that, if you had taken a look at it, there's this huge crowd that comes from all these towns all over the region to see Jesus. They heard about this guy doing all these healings and miracles, and they're like, I want to go see this guy. I want to come check him out. So these big crowds come to follow Jesus. And think of it like this. When I'm reading it, I feel like they kind of want a show. They want to see some entertainment. They want to see this guy perform some tricks. They want to see him do some miracle. So they're coming to see what's this guy doing. And people are coming for legitimate reasons. They got like health things going on in their bodies, and they want to get healed from Jesus. And they got demons in them, and they want to get free from these demons. They want to be set free. They want to be healed and made whole. And if you notice, when you read about the crowds, they wanted something from Jesus. They came to Him because they wanted to get something from Him. So they were coming to Him. So look at verse 13 together, and we'll go through this verse by verse. It says, afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones He wanted to go with Him, and they came to Him. So notice, Jesus was with all these crowds, and then He withdrew from the crowds and went up on this mountain. How many of y'all, if you're part of the crowd, you want something from Jesus, you're gonna go climb this mountain? That means you got to put in effort to follow Him. So think about all the people that didn't follow. They're like, that mountain over there, like, I don't want to be in the sun. I'm going to be thirsty, hungry, whatever. So you could probably see some of this crowd actually, you know, peacing out, kind of going their own way, doing their own thing. But then there's some of those people that say, man, this Jesus guy, I want to know him. So they start climbing that mountain with Jesus. Just imagine Jesus there. So there's probably a group of disciples, right? And he begins to call them out. And so notice the contrast between the crowd and those who went up on the mountain from him. The crowd, they wanted something from him, but those who went on the mountain wanted to be with Jesus. There's a huge difference there. And so when they got called out, they had a choice. They had to step out from that group of people that he was with. And so they could have just hung back in the crowd, or they could have walked down the mountain. But those who were called by name, they actually had to step out and come to Jesus. They had to make the effort. So they had to go from the crowd into his presence. They had to go from the crowd into his presence. And we have to ask ourselves this question as we read these scriptures. Are you willing and wanting to go from the crowd to his presence? Do you want to go from the crowd, or you want to climb the mountain and be in Jesus' presence? So this means that you have to go from just wanting things from Jesus to actually becoming his friend. Because if you reflect on your prayer life, if you're talking with Jesus, are you mostly asking for things from him? And then if you are, oh yeah, I'm doing that a lot, like you could maybe think, oh man, I might be part of the crowd. But if your time with Jesus is just like, man, Jesus, I want to hang out with you, I just want to worship you and be in your presence, then you'll be like, oh, I'm going from the crowd into his presence. So picture this. Picture this king, a super generous king that you all have access to. And you walked up to this king and you were just wanting some things from him. And you're back in line, but you're going to get close. You're like 200 people deep, but you're like, I'm going to wait to get what I need from this king. And this king sitting there has all these jewels sitting next to him. And he just, you know, the person comes up and they're asking him for money. So he gives him money. And then picture the king kind of just reluctantly like turning away, just keeps throwing these jewels. And finally, that line runs out. And he's like, I'm just glad these people are done, because all they want is my money. All they want is things from me. And then someone else walks in and that king's face lights up, because that king walks in and says, that's my friend. And that friend comes up to the king. And you know what they do? They just hang out and they talk and they smile and they're laughing and they're just being together. And that friend never asked for a thing from Jesus. So when that friend leaves, the friend is grateful that he was in the king's presence, and he goes back on his way to serve the king. Because that friend knows that he's an ambassador of the king when he goes out. So anything that he needs to represent that king will be given to him or her, no matter what it is. So going from the crowd that's just asking things from Jesus, Jesus, give me this, give me that, Jesus, this. Jesus, can I just hang out with you and be with you and be in your presence? I want to be your friend. So let's look at verses 14 and 15. Then he appointed 12 of them and called them to be his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons. So if you read this, it says Jesus called them and sent out to be apostles. In the Greek, what that simply means is sent ones, a sent one. But back in the Roman world, when the Romans would, they would go and establish a colony in an area where it wasn't Romanized, they would send an apostle. An apostle would go to that region and basically bring the Roman culture and bring it to the people and basically culturalize that entire area with the Roman culture. So they were called an apostle. Think of them like a general. They would bring it in and then they would establish the Roman culture. So when Jesus, he said, hey, you're an apostle and I want you to go do this. Notice this. This is huge. Jesus gave them identity by calling them apostles, and he gave them a role by telling them to go. So your relationship with Jesus is so dependent on your identity, because how you believe yourself to be is how you will live your reality. Because if you think that you just got to do things for God and you got to slay for God and you got to be good enough for God, man, that's horrible. Because like, if you mess up, you're so afraid of God that he's just going to punish you. But that's not who the Father is. The Father in 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on you, that you should be called a son or a daughter of God, a child, and this is who you are. And so if you believe the truth that God says, you're my daughter, you're my son, like if you notice sometimes when I'm up here speaking, like my daughter, my son will run up to me in the middle of everything. right? But they know that they can always come to me. They can always come, especially like I'm praying or worshiping. They'll just come, they'll just barge in, right? But they know that they can always come to their Father. In the same way, if you know that you can always go to your Heavenly Father as a daughter or as a son, and you can come and commune with Him and be with Him, then man, how does that change how you view yourself and how you know that God views you? Because what you believe about yourself and about God will become your reality. And that's why God wants you to believe the truth about who you are in your identity rather than believing a lie of Satan and being deceived. And did you notice this when you looked in the Word? There are three things that He said about the role in their training. First, it was simply to be with Jesus, to accompany Him. That was their number one thing. So He called them apostles up front. Do you know how amazing they were up front? They weren't amazing at all. They were just random people like us. They were just people that said, hey, I'm over here. I don't know you, Jesus. And then Jesus said, all right, all y'all come over here. And He said, first be with me. First develop relationship. First develop friendship. And then as you grow in friendship and you begin to carry who I am and you get the identity in you of being in Jesus, He says, now you go and preach, which means you go share the gospel with people. You share about Jesus. You share about His kingdom coming. This is what it means to preach the gospel. And the third thing is cast out demons. So He gave them authority, which is the right to do this. So Jesus has given us authority over all the power of the enemy that will trample on snakes and scorpions, that nothing will harm us. That's from Luke chapter 10. So Jesus gives you authority. When you draw near to Him in His presence, He gives you authority to cast out demons. And I'll tell you up front, I've been doing a lot of ministry, prayer ministry people over the years. When people have unresolved spiritual and emotional issues, they have some type of access of demonic forces to their life. So if you have in your Bibles the words that maybe says demon-possessed in there, that's actually a horrible translation. It's not even the Greek. The Greek word is simply demonized, or to have a demon. So it just means you have one, right? It doesn't mean it takes control of your life. It means one has access to you because you have these open doors in your life. But when you clean out the garbage in your life and you command that stuff to leave, it has to go. So you have authority in Jesus to actually command this to go. There's a guy in our church, we're doing some discipleship, and he was working through some of his stuff and asked God to forgive him these things, and he commanded a demon to go. So when we do our prayers, we just say, we go through it, asking God to forgive us, and then we tell God what we did and how we felt about it, and we release it. And we just have a simple prayer. I command any demon in this area of my life to go in Jesus' name. And when the person prayed that, they had this really strong manifestation in their head area. It was like really painful, and then it left. I didn't say anything in that moment. What that was, it was a demon actually leaving that person's life. So Jesus gives us the authority to cast out demons. And what it is, it's all about this, all about freedom. Jesus wants us to be free because He paid for all of it on the cross for us by His death and through His resurrection. He wants every single person here to be healed and made whole. Because how many of y'all have like this war going on inside of you, like emotional, spiritual, psychological war? If that's going on inside of you, it's because there's things in Jesus that He wants to heal and things that He wants to clean you out of, and He wants to transform you with His Spirit and His Word. And that's why he came to do this. He said, be with me first, then preach the gospel, preach the good news, and get people free so that they're able to live what I designed for them. Let's look at verses 16 through 19. It says, these are the 12 He chose. Simon, who He named Peter, James and John, sons of Zebedee, but Jesus nicknamed them sons of thunder. Anybody want to be nicknamed son of thunder or daughter of thunder? That'd be pretty cool. You'd be like that. All right, George, over here. Thanks, George. I got Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who later betrayed Him. Did you notice a common theme about these 12 people that He named? They were just everyday people. They were the common people. These weren't some like special high up ranking leaders in the government or society or religion. These are people that you find at the park. These are people you find at the supermarket. These are people you find in your neighborhood. These are people, so they're fishermen, tax collectors, zealot. So zealot is like it was a Jewish person who was like kind of like a guerrilla, like a militia that they would go and attack the Roman people and try and kill some of them. That's what they did to try and overthrow the government. So Jesus chose all these random people that were just out there doing life like me and you. It was just people like us. So it doesn't matter your background or what you've done or haven't done or what's been done to you or your status or anything else. It doesn't matter. What matters is, will you come to Jesus and will you follow him? Will you be all in? When he calls you by name, will you be the one that goes up the mountain? Which means you have to put in the effort, the hard work to follow him, right? Because the crowd probably stayed out in the plains. But those who want to follow him went up the mountain. So you have to go through following him. Will you give up your life? Or will you do your own thing? To actually seek him, or he wants to do in and through you. So will you move from the crowd to being a friend of Jesus? And that's a real question. Because a lot of people, we got kids, we got jobs, we're students, there's so much going on, right? That pulls us in all these directions. And what do you think pulled the crowd in all those directions? Well, Jesus going up the mountain, I gotta go do something this way. I gotta go to work, or come up with different excuses, right? But some said, I wanna go up the mountain. And so we have to be honest with ourselves, like, what excuses or distractions are actually keeping me from following Jesus up the mountain? Because it was when it was up the mountain that he said this, hey, come be with me. So he invited them into his presence. And you know what? That invitation is actually open to anyone. It's open to anyone that says, Jesus, I want to be friend with you. I want to know you. And I'll be honest. Like, I'm coming from the crowd into the 12, into the 3, to the 1. Like, I want to be the one that just is with Jesus face to face. And so I can guarantee everybody here, we're all part of the crowd to some extent. There are things in your life, whether they're distractions or you got misplaced commitments to Jesus and you're doing other things that he doesn't want you to do with your time in your life, that are keeping you from being all in with him and keeping him first by seeking his presence. Everybody falls in that category, even me. And that's why he continues to strip away everything from my life. These Thursday night worship I do for like 2 hours, he's convicted me of sin. I didn't even know it was there until he shows me. And I'm like, shoot, Jesus, I confess that. I got to change my life. So everybody here, you're part of the crowd to some extent. And Jesus is saying, what do you need to do to move from the crowd into his presence? What does it mean to climb the mountain? How do you put in the effort to follow him, to create that space for him in his life? And then make your way into the front. Say, Jesus, I want to be the one that you say, come be with me. I want to be in your presence. So you actually have to get into his presence. He's calling you by name. So when we talk about the 10 conditions, praying for the right people, here's some things that we've been praying that God wants us to do. Praying for the right people to join what God is doing and wants to do through Enrich. So Jesus wants to start a movement of multiplying disciples, churches, and leaders. So he wants everybody here to be equipped as a disciple maker. And that's why we're doing the Discovery Bible study for like 15 minutes before we jump into the word like this. So that everybody, this just becomes normal. And then God's going to send people in your path who are open to a relationship with you, who are hungry to have their deepest spiritual questions answered. And then they're going to go out and share with other people too. They're going to cross our paths. And so God wants to prepare you to be the right person that he can use. We also need to pray for Jesus to block false prophets and wolves in sheep's clothing from joining Enrich. Because Satan has people out there that he wants to send, either intentionally or unintentionally, to destroy, steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. So praying that God would block those people. And then pray for Enrich and those the Father will send to be faithful, loyal, and obedient to Jesus. At the end of the day, I'll tell you with this, and if you take anything away today, this might be it for you. Jesus' love language is obedience. If you read John chapter 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you obey my commands. He says it like 3 different times in different ways. So if you want to say, "If Jesus, I love you," and what it'll say is, show me how you love me. It'll be by being obedient to him, obedience to the written word, and obedience to how he is leading you in his life, being led by the Spirit with what he's asking you to do with your individual life, and then the community of a church we're a part of. So he wants you to be loyal to him. He wants you to be faithful to him. He wants you to be obedient to him. These are the people that get into Jesus' presence, that become his friend. So remember this, there were the friends that were going to the king asking for things, right? But then there was the friend who just wanted to be with Jesus, to be with his presence, hang out with him. And how much more fulfilling is that? Because if we're created to be with God in the beginning, and then there was a separation from sin of Adam and Eve, like God restored that through Jesus, that we can have that relationship with Him and come to His presence. So it takes our effort. So I want you to take a moment to like really reflect on this and be real with yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, what must you change in your life to leave the crowd, to be in His presence, to be a friend of Jesus? Because remember this, if you think you've arrived, you won't be hungry for more. If you think you've arrived, you won't be hungry for more. Because if you think you've arrived, then you got a pride issue. Pride is so blinding. It's a rough sin, because you don't see it until someone calls it out or God hits you really hard and you're like, oh gosh, right? But if you say, okay, there's more Jesus of you in your presence, I want more of you. So what do I got to do in my life to leave the crowd, to climb the mountain, to go be with you? What do you need me to do? So take a few minutes to actually ask Him that question. Jesus, what does it mean for me to leave the crowd to come deeper into Your presence? And after you feel like whatever come to your heart, you're asking Jesus about that, right? How will you obey the passage this week? How will you obey what God is speaking to you through the Word? So go ahead and write that down or put it in your phone and then share that with the person next to you. And then write to you, like, who would I want to share this with? Because the Word of God is so powerful. Like, who in my life can I share this with this week as I go throughout my life? Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's someone in class or just someone at work. Or maybe it's someone that God puts in your path. So write down, how will you obey the passage this week that we studied together? How is God speaking to you? He wants you to do. And then who's someone you can share it with? I'll share this too before JR comes up and shares the gospel with us in a really clear way. Man, Jesus wants you to come into His presence. Like, He loves you so much, and His love is unconditional. And so we can always come to Him. So it's kind of like being with your best friend. Like, you're one of His best friends. And so He wants to be with you because He loves you, and He wants to encourage your life. So JR is going to come up here, and he's going to share how he came to know Jesus and give people the opportunity to believe in Him today. So come on up, JR. All
right, so my quick little testimony, I'm going to be just real and straight up. I used to live a life of crime, like illegal street racing. I used to get drunk all the time and smoked a lot of stuff. And there was a time in my life where God was speaking to me, and when I was driving really fast, like my car blew up and I thought I was gonna die. And that was like the first time in my life where I thought, like, Lord, dude, I need Your help. I need Your love right now. Forgive me for all that I've done. Like, I'm not gonna go back in the lifestyle again. And ever since, that was like in 2020, like, and it was 2 days before my birthday, July 17, 2020. So it's been 5 years since. I felt like it was a rebirth in my life, and you know, there was a lot of things happening in my life, so it's not just a singular path, but a lot of different puzzle pieces. And I took God for granted because it's been like running around in my whole family. But it's literally just this year that I fully given my life to Christ. And it's weird because, like, yeah, dude, I've been in church my whole life, dude. Like, but sometimes it's hard for me to listen. Like, I'll play music, but then on the weekdays, I'll be doing my own thing. So the obedience that I was going through right now is, like, giving it 100% all. Like, through my music, through the passions. And it's a tough struggle right now because there's so many projects to do. But literally yesterday, the worship at the beach and, like, the worship at Jared's house, like, I've never felt so fulfilled in my life. And, like, just like what Jen said, like, even though there might be traffic, like, literally I hit traffic yesterday, like, on the 210. I saw my GPS, like, usually it's a 15-minute drive. I was like, 1 hour 47? Like, what is this going on? So I actually rolled down my window and I was like, hey, dude, like, what's going on? It's like, hey, dude, there's an accident. So, like, that reminded me of my past life, or, like, you know, like, when we drive too fast, sometimes we don't see the details that God is really, literally hand-sharing to us. So I want to just transition that real quick to the gospel. Is like, we could be in church, or we could be in programs our whole life, but what really counts is, like, we've all sinned or done wrong against God, and because of our sin, our relationship with God is broken. And it's so easy for us to, like, keep that Christian mask or that fake mask, like, yo, I'm doing good. But just wanted to remind each and one of us that Jesus is death, that even he can see through our masks, he can see through the windows of our walls, he can see through, like, what behind the curtains. And he's not judging us, but he loves us so much that he died on the cross for all of us, you know. I don't know how old we all are or what our journeys are in life, but the greatest promise that the gospel has provided as is that we can always have a relationship with God and the Lord, the Trinity, restored. Jesus' resurrection, not only did Jesus die, but he also was put in the grave for 3 days. So, dude, imagine you're put in a coma for 3 days, y'all, and, like, you wake up, like, dude, what happened? So that's what Jesus did for us. On the third day, he came back from the dead, fully alive, conquering death, so that if we believe in him, we can have eternal life. So, like, my testimony, your testimony is very special, so don't be afraid to use it whenever you meet new people. You know, you never know how your story can change other people's lives. And I know we've been here in this church and we're growing all together, enriched, literally, we're sprouting. But have you ever asked Jesus to forgive your sins and believe that he rose from the dead so that you can have eternal life? So just today, I just pray and I hope that that you guys can have a renewed relationship, something starting brand new. You know, it's an every single day battle. It's not just like Sundays, like we're good, and then Mondays, like, man, go hit the club or, you know, do whatever you want to do. There's a lot of temptations in this world, but Jesus' love, the blood on the cross, has wiped us from the sin, and, you know, there's nothing that we can't conquer. And Jesus becomes your Savior. He saves you from your sins. He becomes your Lord. He rules your life. And he becomes your best friend. It's just something that you guys would like to do. So how many of y'all have a best friend? Yeah, we all have a best friend. So imagine, like, you know, sometimes our physical best friends won't be there in a jiffy. Like, but Jesus, you know, literally when you just call upon his name, open your hands, like, he will be there to comfort you from all your problems, from all your sicknesses, your diseases, your mental health. And if you guys are feeling the led to be inspired to lead other people to Christ or yourself, this is just, repeat after me with this prayer real quick. So, Jesus, I recognize that I have sinned against you, and I ask that you please forgive me for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead, conquering death so that I can have eternal life. I surrender my life to you and choose to turn from going my own way to your way. I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me a great desire to know and follow you. In your name, Jesus, amen. Now we're going to have some people going to be praying. So if you guys have any special requests or any healing, we have a wonderful team that will guide you through this wonderful journey. And we're proud of each and one of you. So yeah, God is good.
Thanks, JR.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for being real about your story.
Oh yeah.
And grateful for that. Yeah. And I think it's great because we all have a story. We've all been somewhere, made mistakes, or mistakes have been done to us, and you can see JR, like, being transformed by Jesus from everything he said he's come out of. So that's available for anyone. So as we wrap up our time, if you're like, yeah, I wanted to do that today with Jesus and start a relationship with him, just come to the Get Prayer Here sign afterwards. We'll have some prayer team there, and they'll walk you through. We got some resources for you to build that relationship with him. I'm going to invite everyone to stand as we finish, and we're going to pray and then get out of here. So let me pray over y'all as we jump into our week. Jesus, thanks that we can be here this morning. We're so grateful. Thanks for your presence here. Thanks for your love for us. Thanks that you call us your own, that we're sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. Jesus, thank you that you invite us from the crowd into your presence. So would you give us the grace and the ability to climb that mountain to say, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be your friend. I want to know you in that deep way. I want to be one of the people that you call out. So he's calling out to you, and all we got to do is follow. So Jesus, would you bless everybody here with a deeper encounter of your love and your presence? I pray that you give people courage that are facing situations where they just need to have courage to step into it and push through and do the right thing. I pray for those that have been facing disappointments. I pray, Jesus, that they would be able to fix their eyes on you in the midst of those disappointments and to see where you're at in that disappointment and how you're going to redeem it and how they can get specific guidance from you by asking you how to navigate that. Jesus, I pray for those that feel like they're like heart sick or soul sick. They got stuff in their soul that's just going on that doesn't feel healthy. Jesus, we pray that you would heal people's hearts and souls, that you would draw that stuff out through forgiving people, through resolving their personal sin and surrendering to you. And Jesus, you're the one who heals us and makes us whole. Jesus, I pray for those that are making decisions. I pray that you would give wisdom to those that are needing guidance from you to know what to do and how to do it in those situations. I pray for those that have a need, whether it's financial, relational, or job, or family. Jesus, as we bring those needs right now before you in our heart, Jesus, I ask that through your glorious riches and the abundance of heaven that you would release the resources of heaven to be accessed here on earth to meet that need, and that you would fulfill that, Jesus, because you're a good God and you give good gifts to us. You love us so much. As Father, you're good. So Jesus, I ask your protection over everyone here and their families and those that are part of their home. Would you protect them? Father, would you cover them with your wings? Would they rest in your shadow? Father, would you be their shield and their sword and place that wall of fire around them? And I ask you to assign a legion of angels to everybody here for your kingdom and gospel purposes. Jesus, we pray for divine appointments this week for the people that you're going to have us cross paths with for a very specific kingdom or gospel reason. Whether it's to just make a connection and build a relationship, whether it's to have a meaningful conversation or a spiritual conversation or pray for someone or share our Jesus story, how you've changed our lives, or to share the gospel, share you, Jesus, and give an invitation to believe in you and start a relationship. So would you give us everything we need, Jesus, to be your ambassador? Now, would you fill us with your spirit and your fire? And we're excited for the week ahead. So as you send us out, God, would you send us out in your authority and in your power to do your works here on the earth? Father, we pray and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.